first year of this legislative session has been a productive one. The number of new laws is slightly higher than the 20-year average, according to WISP Politics. This year, 69 bills have become law, six of them authored by our guest, Representative Amy Loudenbeck. She joins us today to talk about her legislative efforts and more on The Right Angle.
Welcome back to The Right Angle, the official podcast of the Wisconsin Assembly Republicans. Every week, we give you an inside look at the policies and politics that are driving conversations in the Capitol and across the state. Today, we're talking with Representative Amy Loudenbeck. She joins us to talk about her legislative efforts and about all the bills that she's had signed by the governor this year.
I'm Speaker Robin Voss. This is The Right Angle. Representative Amy Loudenbeck of Clinton is our guest today. She was first elected to the Assembly in 2010 and represents the 31st Assembly District, which is located in Rock and Walworth County. Amy is currently the Assembly Vice Chair of the Joint Committee on Finance, and everybody who knows anything about the Capitol knows that Amy is one of the hardest working legislators inside of the dome. So I know you spend countless hours on Joint Finance, but when Joint Finance is finished, you kind of continue your work ethic and you focus on bills that actually matter outside the budget process. So let's start with one that I think probably is going to make a big impact to an awful lot of folks around Wisconsin, especially those in maybe more of the rural parts of the state. That's Act 56, which is really telehealth. You know, I recently toured Aurora Medical Center in Burlington, where they use telemedicine in a variety of ways. I know that your bill would allow people like me who go into an emergency room, maybe not able to see a doctor right away, but to try to connect with somebody remotely. Maybe walk us through where this came from, why you think it's going to make a difference to people, and what potentially it could lead to over time.
Sure. And telemedicine has existed in the realm of healthcare for a number of years. If you can use, for an example, you know, somebody reading a radiology result that maybe isn't located in the hospital, they may be located in another country.
Sure.
Reading your reports in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Our bill opened up telehealth to be available to Medicaid patients and be reimbursable. It also provided some structure and definition. So whether it was remote heart monitoring or if it was a counseling appointment, same as a face-to-face appointment with a mental health specialist, that all of those things would be covered.
So if somebody was on BadgerCare before your bill and they wanted to call in or use a video conference to go to their psychologist, they weren't able to do that before?
There were a handful of – the bill did two things in that regard. The only counselors that were able to be reimbursed for mental health services had to have a separate certification as well for telehealth,
so
which existed for no other profession. So we eliminated the certification, and we also just kind of clarified it so that we knew all of these services that are currently reimbursed under Medicare will be reimbursed under Medicaid.
Okay.
So we tried to put guardrails on it,
mm-hmm.
so we didn't just open it up to like anything that could be construed as the same as face-to-face, but also made it so that if you have, you know, if say you went in and you had a surgery and your doctor said, well, I want you to come in for a wound check. And you said, well, you know what? I can't get a ride. I live in, you know, an hour away from your facility. Could you take a photograph of it and send it to us and we'll take a look at it?
Hmm.
And then at least they can get reimbursed for it at a reasonable below market rate that they do already.
Yeah, right.
But the patient gets the care that they could get with the convenience of maybe being able to stay home or being
saving.
In a nursing home.
Yeah.
I know, for everybody.
Wow.
So it's super exciting, and I think we haven't even thought of all of the ways that it can be utilized, but certainly in your hospital, I know, and I have an Aurora facility in Elkhorn, that they, if they have a really high acuity patient, especially a child, they can connect right with Children's Hospital and the monitors right in the ER.
Well, technology is amazing today, isn't it? I mean,
yep.
You think of what it's going to be like in 20 years,
yep.
much less today.
And so how did I get involved in the bill? It was something, you know, where everyone really wants to know what's going on with healthcare. How are we increasing healthcare access, keeping the costs down, those kinds of things. So it's something I started talking about, you know, over the course of the last couple of years, but then again, it took probably about 6 months to get the language and the drafting right. Everyone was comfortable, and then we still went through and had an amendments. That's part of the process. But I think we came out with a really, really good package.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I know a lot of the best ideas that legislators find are from constituents, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
you're at a town hall meeting, you're at a Chamber of Commerce event, or going door to door. I know two of your bills came from some of your constituent contacts. We probably don't have time to talk about both of them. But do you want to just take a minute to talk about the shelter care bill? Because I know that came from a constituent and meant a lot to you.
So even back from, I can remember before I got elected. So actually one of the first events that I did after I got won my election in 2010, I went to the screening of a video documentary called Project 1649. And it was about the 16 hours and 49 minutes that kids that are homeless and unaccompanied spend outside of school, where they don't know where they're going to sleep, where their next meal might come from. How are they going to, you know, do they have clean clothes? Mm-hmm. Do they have transportation? And it really, I mean, and it did a really deep dive. And you find out these are parents. One lived with his mom and his stepdad, and his mom died. And then his stepdad kind of took off. And, you know, these are young, you know, young adults that are homeless and unaccompanied, and they have no minor rights. And so all the bill, so there was a push to get, to try to get a shelter. They ended up doing transitional living shelters. There's one in Beloit for young women and one in Janesville for young men, but you have to be 18 or over. So all the bill does is it allows a 17-year-old. So if they're already kind of too old to maybe fit into the foster care system or the child welfare system, because they're going to be 18. They're going to be 18 in 6 months. They just want to get their diploma, and we want to make sure that they don't get caught into some negative human trafficking, extortion, things like that. And so what this bill does, it allows them, if they are indeed unaccompanied and homeless, to just access a shelter like a domestic violence shelter or another shelter that without a parent's consent, because they don't have a parent.
Well, you know, that's going to make an awful lot of difference. And that's one of the things that sometimes it's hard for us to see the immediacy when we pass a bill, because we know it's going to do good things. We don't always hear the stories. Now, one of the other bills I know you were really involved in was dealing with Next Generation 911. So when someone has a different kind of crisis and they dial in. So tell us what that bill does and where that came from.
You know, it's super interesting, because what the bill does is it takes care of some unfinished business, I think, from the budget, which is, we always anticipated that the Department of Military Affairs would, after they did some studies and kind of got their parameters around what were we going to do for NG911 in Wisconsin, that there would be some sort of a grant program for local units of government. And so all the bill does is kind of is authorize the rulemaking. But underneath all of that was a lot of, again, awareness of really what's happening out in the field. What's happening out in the field is people are, we heard this at the hearing, they're going on eBay to find parts for their old equipment, dumpster diving. I mean, we heard this from Rhinelander to Milwaukee. I mean, it's not just a big city or a small city. Technology costs money. Right now, we have over 100 public safety answering points in the state. We probably don't need that many if we can regionalize and, you know, have and leverage the technology. So maybe we don't need, you know, multiple locations. And so the bill sparked, I think, a lot of discussion is what's Next Generation 911 going to look like. But I can tell you in Rock County, where I live, they had just talked about adding the capability. So if someone called in on their phone, they could pinpoint their exact location. And the kind of the response on social media was, well, can't you do that already?
Yeah, you kind of assumed it is.
Well, and I think it was like within so many feet or 100 feet or something they could, but not the pinpointing the exact location, where just because you see it on TV does not mean that your local PSAP or your local PD has that kind of capacity, because that equipment costs money. And it also needs to have the whole network and kind of backbone system to support it.
I wish everything on TV was real, because I would love that transporter system from Star Trek.
Right.
Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, you really think about it?
So
many people do not realize your varied background, because I know that you were a volunteer firefighter. You worked for the Beloit Chamber. You know, you had a lot of interest in the environment. So tell us, what inspired you to run for the state assembly? Did somebody talk to you? Was it a passion you always had? I mean, what was the first step?
The first step was when I was in the Capitol for Rock County Day in Madison back in 2010 in April. I was the government relations person at the chamber. My state representative said they weren't running. I think if anyone that's kind of watched politics, you know, it's always better to run in an open seat.
That's true.
And when I kind of went through like my ticking my, you know, like what would I look for in a candidate? Who do I think might run? It sort of gave me permission to say, you know, I've run a lot of candidate forums. I do all these legislative breakfasts. Do I have, you know, do I have something I could add value? I think I really get it. And at that point, unemployment in Beloit was hitting up against the 20% mark.
Wow.
It was terrible. And someone with community and economic development and workforce development, I thought was a good fit, where the representation that we had had in the past really wasn't super friendly to the business community. And then also I happen to live in a more rural part of the district. And so I felt like that part was really disconnected. It was more, it was always just kind of a focus on the big population areas. And so I thought, you know, someone can maybe do better. And so I looked into it and made some phone calls, faith, friends, and family.
And boom, here you are.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't mention the fact that you also have other things that make you even more interesting. You have kids of your own, right?
Yes.
So what kind of kids do you have?
They are boar goats. And so we've got triplets right now at home that were born about a month ago. And then we have two that just graduated from the barn to the pasture. They're probably 2.5 months old. But sometimes we have dozens and dozens and dozens at the same time when we're in like kind of the spring kidding cycle. Mm-hmm. But it's always special and amazing, and they're really fun to take care of, and we show them and we do other things. We get to have a lot of friends in the goat community. We've been to state fair before. It's a lot of fun.
So when you go to your high school class reunion, because I think you went to high school in Hinsdale, right? Mm-hmm. In Illinois. Are there a lot of other people who are goat farmers when you go to your high school class reunion?
No, sir.
Not at all?
No, but the fun part is I only live about an hour and a half from suburban Chicago where I grew up. And so when my friends come up north to Clinton, which is about 2 miles over the Illinois state line, to visit, they after my first high school reunion, literally I probably had three friends and their kids visit me within a month or two.
Aww.
When they found out, and they love to come visit, and so it's a lot of fun.
But you have a longtime family connection to Wisconsin, right?
Mm-hmm. So my mom's family in 1954 bought a resort up in Oneida County in Lake Tomahawk. And so I've been going up there my whole life. I still go up there.
Is it still in the family?
Mm-hmm. Still in the family.
Wow.
My mom and my dad both went to UW-Madison. That's where they met and married. Mm. And so I just kind of took the long route, but I ended up back at UW-Madison for school. So I moved here when I was 17, started college. With a few exceptions of kind of, you know, traveling and visiting and staying with family, I've remained in Wisconsin ever since.
Okay, now I'm going to put you on the spot. This is going to be the hardest question of the things that we have asked so far.
Okay.
What is the best festival or fair in your district that you get to go to in the two-year cycle?
It's a hard question. So I'm going to give a shout out to Rock County that has the oldest 4-H youth fair in the state. But Walworth County, which is the largest, I believe, and I know you. I've seen you at that one.
I've been to
it's
the county
a really
fair many
good
times.
Fair. It's it a Walworth nice. County is a top notch fair.
So any festivals that like are the go tos for?
There's
you,
a really good
you?
Rib Fest in Walworth County that I really enjoy. There's Corn Fest in Darien. Rib Fest is in the summer.
Okay,
like it's in June. They pull in lots of people from Illinois and all over. People
we
come
like
on
Illinois
bikes
money,
and
don't
yeah,
we? Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and Corn Fest in Darien, free corn. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of them. They're all
okay,
fun.
Okay, so second hard question. You can only pick one restaurant for you and Matt to go to for dinner in the 31st. What's the one your go-to that you would choose?
So dinner notwithstanding, because we're kind of homebodies at night, but
right.
We go for breakfast and lunch a lot.
Okay, you can make that. You can amend the question.
The Chopier Tap.
Oh.
Is in the district. Friends of ours own it, and so it's fun because they're just busy as small business owners can be. So
is that close to your house?
Mm-hmm. It's probably about 5 minutes.
That's perfect.
5-10 miles away.
Yeah.
And they have a great breakfast on the weekends. They have lunch sometimes, or fish fry, all great. But it's kind of nice, you know, with our schedules as legislators. My husband's a firefighter paramedic, so he works every third day.
Yep.
He would argue he works every day. But every third day, he's on duty for 24 hours. And for us, our schedule, sometimes I work a full Saturday or Sunday. And, you know, so maybe we might just on a Thursday just say we're both home and just say, do you want to go to lunch?
Mm-hmm.
Which is really nice.
It is really nice, isn't it? Just to be able to spend time and appreciate the fact that you live in a beautiful part of Wisconsin.
Go out.
Not quite as beautiful as where I live, but it's awful darn close. Yeah. Well, that's it. Well, thank you so much, Amy, for being here. We appreciate you spending time with us on The Right Angle. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in for this week's podcast. I'm Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and I think on behalf of Amy and me and all the members of the Assembly, we want to make sure that all the listeners enjoy a Christmas season with their family and enjoy the holidays with those they love. So Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And that's The Right Angle. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe. Just search for The Right Angle on iTunes and Google Play, Radio Public, Breaker, Overcast, and Pocket Casts. Have an idea for a guest or a topic? Tweet us at Wisconsin Assembly GOP. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.